more water than that in the valley, but then that's the most I can remember.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I remember when they had some little floods, but didn't amount to much. No. Down, say, down on Booth Lane, some of the ground down there, some of the Miller ground, and some of that ground right through there, it used to flood every year, and it still put in floods every year, so, you know, there's nothing unusual in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, anytime you get that rains atop the heavy snowpack, there's a lot of water comes down.
Yeah, and you know what? They right after World War II was over, we had several meetings, and we tried to explain to the Army engineers. That's when they built them wells up Caffin Creek and got the artesian well up there by the ice caves. And we tried to explain it to them that they was never going to put a dam across Caffin Creek. Oh, yes, we will. Mm-hmm. We tried to tell them, oh, no, you won't, not as long as there's any Indians left.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you couldn't tell them. And we tried to explain to them at that time that you'd have to go down toward Elgin, there where Indian Creek comes in down there, and go a little below that and start dredging your river out and get that dam out there by Reinhardt. Mm-hmm. That's where it's high, and that's what floods everything back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But oh no, they couldn't do that. Mm-hmm. And they still don't do it.
Yeah.
So you see, these people, Jerry, these people that's got these big long sheepskins that says they're smarter than anybody else in the world, you know, you don't tell them anything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. I don't care who they are. You just don't. And they're not going to believe you if you take them out and show them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't learn that out of that book.
Mm-hmm.
No. And I've got the privilege of telling several of them that, too. Because I've lived here quite a while, and I've seen a lot of this. And I'm pretty plain spoken when I get about half mad, so.
Do you recall any of those floods, that one or some of these others, back up towards Willow Creek and not down at the mouth? You know, that always flooded in there, but
yeah.
Back up the creek,
no.
There, did you ever get in there?
I never had any occasion to go up in there.
Mm-hmm.
Never had any occasion to. That, as we always called the dry creek that crosses there at Elgin,
right.
You know, it's dry 9 months out of the year. And then look how it floods all the way from up to mouth of the canyon on down through there. So there you are again. Then go over across the Clark's Creek, and it's about the same thing.
Well, yeah, it was last year. Clark's Creek really kept flying out.
Yeah.
There, you know?
Yep. So you see?
What about Mill Creek there as far as fish and that? Did you...
You mean in Cove?
Yeah, in Cove.
Oh, yeah, when I was a kid, I could go over to Mill Creek. And I see, that's where I lived, was just darn near on Mill Creek.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I was born and raised. And I could go over to Mill Creek any day and catch a good bunch of fish.
Mm-hmm.
And they was all trout. Very seldom catch anything but a rainbow. When you got up toward the power plant, once in a while you'd catch a bull trout up there.
Mm-hmm.
But not very often.
Did you ever see any steelhead up there?
Oh, yeah. I've caught a lot of steelhead up there.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So saw in some of the old research or, you know, documentation was that, you know, up to the power plant where I guess it stopped them, that they used to get up that power level.
Well, there wasn't nothing to stop them there at the power plant.
Oh, wasn't there?
No, there was never anything up through there to stop them. They could go just as far up that creek as they wanted to go.
Yeah, because I never got up in there to know what,
yeah.
Or see that.
Yeah. Well, now you're getting my country.
Mm-hmm.
See,
okay.
when you get
to clarify it now.
When you get over that country, you're getting into my country.
Yeah, I can't remember where it was, but I thought I read someplace where supposedly the power plant, you know, they couldn't get beyond that. But I don't know who wrote that one.
I don't know either, because there was never nothing. Now, when they used to run the power plant, and they had the Forby up on the hill up south of it for the pipeline to come down to run the turbines,
mm-hmm.
Why, when them turbines start, they had that chute that went out. And that water went out and flowed clear across Mill Creek.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no dam of no kind in there. It just went right straight up through there, right on up past where Larry Campbell is now. That's the old U-Bow place. Bob Price used to own that when I was a kid. and go right on up there, and you go clear to the forks. Now that's when you get up. When you cross through the first cattle guard above where Larry Camel lives now, and the canyon's fork. Mm-hmm. One of them they call Bridge Creek, and the other one is Mill Creek, I guess is what they call them yet today. Yeah. Bridge Creek is up to the left, Mill Creek goes up to the right. Mm-hmm. And you could catch trout. I guess from what I've heard some of the kids say around Cove the last few years, they still go up there and catch some nice trout in the summertime.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they probably fish it a little more now than we used to when I was a kid, because there wasn't very many people around to go up there and fish them when I was a kid.
What about the beaver out in the valley? Glenn, as far as seeing them, location-wise and abundance of them?
Yeah, there was lots and lots of beaver in the valley. Lots of beaver. I wish I could remember. A person might go to Talbert Bennett and find out from Talbert how many beaver, Alvin, that was his brother, worked for the Game Commission. Mm-hmm. Alvin Bennett and Stuart French helped him, and at least I can remember how many beaver it was they caught one winter out there. But boy, I'll tell you, it was a bunch of them.
Whereabouts were they?
They fished all along, all the way down the State Ditch and down through Conley's, all up and down through there. Up in Woodruff's, all up through there. They fished every place. Mm-hmm. Or they fished, they trapped beaver every place, because they was getting lots of complaints turned in. Mm-hmm. In fact, I got a thing from the Game Commission the other day, back, I want to know when this Zone 4 was put in here. Mm-hmm. And there's a picture in there that shows Albert Bennett in it, Don Bradshaw, who just passed away, mm-hmm. and a bunch of them, and it tells in that picture, under that picture, that Alvin Bennett was a beaver trapper for the
Remember about what year that would have been?
When
they're doing that? Or about what
year? Let's see. That was put in 59, I think, that came here. So I haven't got that with me. Mm-hmm. It's down on my desk. But I want to say 59.
Rather the late 50s anyway.
It was in the 50s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's a pretty good little article about the bunch of work there and mm-hmm. all. Oh, it didn't used to be anything to go out there and monkey around the river, say in the fall and in duck season maybe, and see. Well, if you wanted to walk very far along the river, you could probably see 8 or 10 beavers. Mm-hmm. A lot of them.
Mm-hmm. What about change? Has there been where that's after they trapped them out there that kind of brought it downhill, did it? Or has it been kind of cyclic or that since then?
Well, Jerry, I don't know what to tell you on that, because I don't really get out in there that much anymore, but if you get out in there any place, you still see where beaver works. Mm-hmm. So possibly there still must be quite a few beaver up and down the river, up and down Catherine Creek from the river, depending on what you want to say. And there used to be a lot of beaver way up Catherine Creek, way up in the Hall Ranch. Mm-hmm. And on up into the Miller property, up by where the Mormon campground and stuff is. Mm-hmm. There used to be a lot of beaver way up in there.
Yeah, of course I haven't been out there a lot either, but knows where there's been much sign of it, back up that area, in recent years, anyway. Do you recall, Glenn, on the, as far as mining activity, you know, there's the upper Grand Ronde there of any dredging or any of that. Did you get up in there at all? In the upper
I wasn't up in there when they was doing any of that. Mm-hmm. Nope. I fished up in there in later years, you know, up around the, what do you call it, Carson Mine?
Yeah,
that
Carson
up
Mine.
In there. Yeah, I fished up through them old dredges here.
Yeah.
Oh, in the last, what, 15 years? Some just monkeying around and two or three of us would get to pick up something and drive over there just to go fishing or something, kill some time.
Yeah. Well, I think as in the late 30s is when they're actually dredging that. I was, for some reason, I was, took it as a lot earlier because of that stuff over at Sumter, but the, in about 1939 when they actually were in there dredging.
In up
yeah,
up the river?
Upper Grand by Carson there.
And see, they dredged most of that at Sumter after World War II.
Oh, was that in there? I never did know the dates on that.
Well, I don't know the date, but I know.
For a period of time in that, you know.
I know that, see, the people from Sumter, Hutch Bass owned, also owned Red's Horse Ranch. And we was good friends. Well, after World War II was over, and all, I went up and stayed up with Spud Hudspath up at Sumter. Now that's right at the head of the where they dredged, and hunted elk with him back up in there. Well, at that time the dredge was going.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know.
See, and that was after World War II was over. So that I got home in 45. So, you know, that might give you a little.
Yeah.
Now they've got all that to up to Sumter, I'll bet you.
Well, that or the, I'm sure, because they, you know, they've really done a lot of work on the history, you know, of that one. You
know, in fact, so. I wouldn't be surprised in that book that I got that Ernie Hudspath wrote about Sumter Valley. I wouldn't be a bit surprised in what the dates wouldn't be in it.
Oh, yeah.
Because I remember there's something in there. I haven't read it now for quite a little while. I have to read it again one of these days. See if I can get my memory jogged again on it.
Do you remember on the going back to the Cottonwood along throughout the valley here of where they took those out? Were they ever used for anything when they cut them?
Not that I ever knew of. No, I never did know them being used for anything at all.
Because I talked to Bill Holler, he said, you know, someplace down the lower part there, I guess they bunched them up, you know, just burned them. When
that's
they
what they did most all of it.
Or somebody, another guy said they buried them out there in some of those, you know, sloughs and pushed, you know.
Yeah, I think that's what they did with most of it. Just cut them down and pushed them over and buried them.
Yeah. I guess about there, another thing, Glenn, any other thing you can think of, you know, just major changes seen in, you know, within the valley there, just the vegetation or water, the amount of water or quality or anything? Just any trends, you know?
Well,
waters?
I see, when I was a kid, they didn't do any irrigation out there.
It was all dry land farming.
It was all dry land farming. In fact, all of my land was dry land farming. But now, they've got all these wells drilled, and they're you know, they're doing real good on that irrigation on them. And now, I can't remember it, but years back, I think it was in the early 1900s, they raised a lot of sugar beets in here. And the old sugar beet mill was down by where the old county shops is, down in there. And then they quit then, because they didn't have the water for them. But now you see they're raising sugar beets again, so when they're raising these sugar beets, it isn't nothing new.
Yeah.
It's from They did that years ago. Mm-hmm. The only thing that you're raising new in here now, and as far as that kind of stuff is concerned, is mint.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because, gosh, way back they was raising a little bit of spinach and that kind of stuff for seed, you know. And they've tried lots of different types of seed out here in the valley.
Yeah, a few years back, out between Hot Lake and Union, they've been with some onions there, but I haven't seen anything.
Well, they had onions out here, the other side of Island City last year.
Oh, did they?
Out there on Shorty Van Blocks place. Uh-huh. And now they got some this year on... You just go through Island City and start toward Cove and make the first bend there between that bend and the next bend. So there's a patch of onions there that they'll take the seed from this summer.
Oh, yeah.
That belongs to that, what they call that outfit over there. As you go make the next corner out there and the house sets back in there, that's some seed outfit or something in there.
Yeah. Do you remember any, one other thing comes to mind on the, like in the wintertime, you see a lot of, the soil movement there. I talked to Bill, he said since they've irrigated, it seemed like it was down a lot where they've been able to keep water on it, or, the crops and like that compared to, earlier years. Have any changes in your lifetime of...
Well, I'll tell you what I think happened there. It used to be... that people wouldn't seed their grain, their fall grain out here, until late. Now, the few people that seeded their fall grain early, their property didn't blow near like the others did. And you've got to let that grain get up high enough to stop that dust and that dirt from blowing. Mm-hmm. And then when they started using these deep furrow drills, that helped a lot too. Mm-hmm. Made a big difference. I had in my own mind and my theory, I started seeding on the Labor Day. Mm-hmm. That was the day I started seeding. Mm-hmm. Always. And I had some ground out there. You see, I farmed all that ground out there we was talking about a while ago, about Conley Lake. See, that all belonged to me. Mm-hmm. In there, 880 acres of that belonged to me. And that's a good spot to blow. But I never had it do very much damage to me. Mm-hmm.
Was Conley Lake, was that just a natural lake out there? Because some of the earlier maps, of course, they didn't get in and survey everything. I didn't see it on some of the, real early ones, but they showed, it was Tule Lake down there, Hot Lake, that was on the real early ones. And it was kind of funny, one thing up there at Island City, they showed that as a lake, but I think it just... when they made that, it must have been just high water.
Well, I think that's what it was.
Yeah,
it's just high water when they...
Because that used to go from stretch to stretch in there, that whole thing. Yeah.
I remember my own granddad talking, that was A.B. Conley's son, about Conley Lake out there, that one time it went dry early. And they went out and plowed it up and seeded oats in. And he said he'd never seen such a crop of oats come off a piece of ground in his life as to come off of that darn old ground, see? So there you are.
Yeah. Probably pretty rich in there.
So.
Well, I think that pretty well fills in some of the stuff, questions I had, Glenn.
Okay,
Sure appreciate it.
Well, I hope it helps you.
Yeah, well.
And World War II was over. Mm-hmm. See? And it was sometime in the 50s when we seen the first elk on this side of the mountain, seen them up in High Valley. Now, I'm talking about there was a few elk back over in this Indian Creek country about the same time, but you didn't see him come out on this side of the hill. Heck, I've seen elk out there on my, out there at the lake as we was talking about. You know, in the wintertime, and gobs of deer. So, I don't know. They do those things so funny sometimes. And then they wonder why they get in, I'm not going to say trouble, but they wonder why they get in hot water with the people.
Well, this is it, You get,
you know. Because that's just like me coming up here and telling you that you got to get out of this house because there's going to be some game come in here. No difference. Or I can't see the difference anyway.
Well, it's the other house we were over there.
Same thing?
Well, yeah, I used to feed those things out. We had, I think, about the most, about 125 head, just to keep them out of town and off the neighbor's haystack.
Sure.
We were feeding out that many there, right, you know, at the house there.
Yeah.
Kind of devastated the house, but I said that were their habitat, so.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
But then you see, when did you build that house there?
Well, it was 72 when I finished up.
72?
Yeah, it started about 70.
Well, now, when you first started that house, though, you didn't see near as many deer then as you did after.
You had the residents in there, which is probably, generally ran about 15 head that just stayed in that valley area. But then when you had the hard winter, like 88, I think?
Yeah.
You had everything from up the high country.
High valley.
All came
all
down.
All through high valley came
down. I mean, from there all the way up.
Sure.
You know, because nothing could survive up high.
That's right.
They either died up there or they're down the valley. And we count right there at the house 132 head.
Oh, yeah.
And they're, but we fed them out there till March, and everybody told me that, well, you're going to have them here all the time. And as soon as that greened up and the snow went, they're gone.
They're gone.
Yeah, they never came back. Until you have another heavy winter, then they'll be back down.
Yeah. And I see, I try to read up on some of this stuff, and I've been for years trying to read up on the elk or the wapiti, whatever you want to call them. And see, all I can read up on them is an elk. It's not a mountain animal. Elk is a prairie.
Well, it used to be prairie,
It's a prairie animal. So when they turned these elk loose over on, in Willow County, over there and all, they was in the mountains. Well, now many, many years ago, I remember old Roddy Bates and some of them talking about, now, he lived up High Valley. And they would go someplace over the other side of Ball Mountain along in the fall and kill two or three elk. And that was way back in the early 1900s. But there was a few over there. And there was a few elk over on the Minum. See? But that's all he was. And then they started coming. Now we've got, Jerry, I'll bet you that we've got 10 elk now to what we have, where we had one in 33 when they opened the elk season. But one reason I say that is from what I can find out. Now, you go to mine and elk hunting in the fall, like up, you was talking about that dam a while ago, and up to the burn and way up in there, you find very few elk because they've all come this way. As we just said, they're a prairie animal. So they've moved out of the mountains, see? Now, there were two bunches up here in High Valley this past fall. One bunch had about 75 head in, the other bunch had about 40 head in. But that was two different bunches. Well, that took quite a lot of elk for that little area through High Valley there.
Well, see, back in the 50s, you never, it's rare to see elk down on the Eagle Creeks, too.
I know.
And then, you know, it's the same thing. They've all
very few.
There, yeah.
There was one now and then.
Oh, yeah.
And they was up high, as a rule, up in Hudson Basin. That's the first elk I ever seen up in up Eagle Creek
country. That's it, up East Eagle and up Bennett Peak and all through that country.
Yeah, you know. There was a few, but not many.
But when you spooked them, they went clear to the Minum. I mean, one night, they were
gone. They was gone.
they're running back.
They was gone. But they might be back to next night.
Oh, sure, yeah.
You know, an elk will travel a long ways and nothing flat.
Travel awful long ways,
Yes, they will. Well, Jerry, I better get out of here.
Just one thing while you're on that. The whitetail, do you remember as far as any whitetail in the country at all, Glenn?
Not when I was a kid.
No.
Wasn't any.
Because now they're, you know, they're...
Yeah.
Well, right under the deck here, you know, camped.
Yeah, there's getting to be quite a bunch of whitetail through the valley. Yeah. Now, my neighbor, Ed Bloom, that used to have the store over the cove, he killed a whitetail last fall up High Valley.
No, I didn't know if there was, you know, much going over that way or not, because it seemed like they came around Mount Emily here, you know, working their way around this way, whether it's much over your way, you know, or when you're
well,
in the cove there.
There's getting to be... Mm-hmm. Now, Sonny Johnson tells me that there's... quite a few out in the valley now, out along the river, whitetail.
Yeah.
I see Sonny every now and then, and we sit down and have a big big bull fest for a while. But it's people like him that's been telling me about the last few years going to Minor Mill Cut. Now, they love to go over there, and they hunt right for us. Old guys used to hunt. Mm-hmm. But like he said, I think they killed one elk in there this year. Mm-hmm. And they didn't kill any last year. You know, and they're right in their prime to go.
Pattern, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But he, just like Sonny says, there just isn't any elk in there anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're moved out. They're gone. And Gene Hartley, who works for out to Eagle Truck Stop in there for Scotty Baker, he told me they went up to what do I want to say? The old guard station is up Big Minum, and then way up on top of the hill up to Stanley.
Oh, Stanley.
They went up to Stanley last year in elk season, and he said they killed one elk, and that's the only elk they seen was the one.
Yeah, that used to be pretty prime.
Oh, years ago when those guys used to go in there and stay at the horse ranch, and then we had the Tapir place down below, and that was some of the best elk hunting there was up in there around Stanley and through there.
Yeah.
Of course, we had all that name, the cabbage patch and what have you, so, you know. But that was a long time ago, but it was after World War II.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but it's still been a long time ago.